The passage that I'm going to read is from John 14. And John 14, it's a treasure chest, really, of themes. And so you could find all sorts of pearls of wisdom there. But I want to focus specifically on Philip. And so that's what I'm going to be doing here. So let me read from John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has plenty of room. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. But then Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, all who have faith in me will do the work I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So far. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, call him Johnny, a grade 10 student in the local high school, came home with his first report card of the grade 10 that he was in. He got some C's, some C pluses, some C minuses. And well, how do you think about that, Johnny? Hey, it's good enough for me, as long as I pass, and as long as I get high enough marks to keep on the volleyball team, I'm fine with that. It's good enough. His parents, on the other hand, knew Johnny very well. And they knew that he could do a lot better than that. And so they said to him, Johnny, that's not good enough. And then they tried to indicate to him, look, God is the one who created you with certain gifts. And you need to exercise those gifts. You need to pray for those gifts. And that you can be the person that God is wanting you to be. Well, it was all good enough for him. Good enough. Many of us kind of live with that, right? You know, sometimes you're painting, and I know there are some people who are very, very meticulous, but others will kind of go over the lines or whatever. That's good enough. You're asked as a child to clean your room, and well, there's still a few things straggling around. That's good enough. But it's also in other areas. For those of you who are married, what is the state of your marriage? Would you say that it's maybe not the best, but it's good enough? And of course, when it is, if you think yourself, it's good enough, are you going to go into areas and ask yourself how you can improve, how you can become closer together? Probably not, because it's good enough. And then in the whole area of Christianity, we are told that we should be in the Word. How much time do I spend in the Word of God? Do we have the attitude, well, it's good enough? I really don't spend a whole lot of time, but, you know, I'm busy. That's good enough. We are called to be in prayer. Do we spend significant time in prayer? Or is it just a prayer before the meal? Is it good enough? And if it's good enough, again, you're not going to strive to grow and improve. We are called to be generous. Maybe kind of use the tithe as a basis. Is that in terms of our giving? Well, there's, you know, inflation, there's a lot of things. It's good enough. And so that's often the way we live. And what about in terms of our Christianity? Some people say that, you know, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. That's good enough. I remember years ago, a mother, I was a young pastor at that time, asked me to visit her son because he wasn't going to church anymore. And so I visited him, and in the conversation, he kind of got angry with me. He said, "What, are you saying that because I don't go to church, I'm not a Christian? I still believe in God, you know." And quite honestly, I didn't quite know what to say at that time. Now, looking back, I wish I would have studied John 14, where I would be able to say to him, "Look, just because you believe in God, that's not good enough. You need to be embracing Jesus." That is the thrust of what Jesus is talking here in his answer to one of the apostles, Philip. This morning we look at this passage from John 14, a very, very well-known passage. Jesus is telling them that he is about to leave. They've been with Jesus for a number of years, and so they were getting a little antsy. Now what? Have they really got to brass tacks? Have they really kind of, in that sense, graduated from being with Jesus? And here Jesus, and we heard that in the children's message in terms of the one way, this is in some ways the very core of our faith, that it's only through Jesus that we come to see the Father. And of course, for some, this passage is the height of arrogance. It's almost blasphemy. How dare you say that this is the only way? Very much in the world in which we live. And so as Jesus is saying this, Philip doesn't really seem to get it. Philip says, "Look, just show us the Father, and that will be enough. That will be good enough." Now, in some ways, we should understand Philip's thinking here, because throughout the history of religion, that's It's been people, it's been prophets, for example. It's been gurus, it's been others who try to show us who God is. And once you understand who God is, then you somehow follow him. In the Old Testament, there were many revelations of God. Think of Moses at the burning bush. Here was a revelation of God. Think of God at Mount Sinai. The mountain was quaking. Here was God showing himself. Think of Elijah at Mount Carmel with the sacrifices with all the water on it, and Elijah praying and fire comes down. God is showing himself. And if you read the prophets, God is an angry God. God is a holy God. This is what God is wanting. And so all of these prophets. Now, sometimes people didn't like the prophets. You read Jeremiah, for example. No, let's shut this guy up somehow. We don't like what he is saying. We like what somebody else is saying, showing us who God is. And so Philip is saying, just show us the Father. But you see, that's not enough. Think of the Pharisees, for example. I mean, they thought they really knew who God was. They had all sorts of, I think there were 640 rules or so that you had to follow. If you know God, this is what you would do. But we know that Jesus, of course, says, you missed the boat. You really don't know who God is. And so here we have Philip then. Show us the Father. And this, quite frankly, is quite dangerous. Because, you see, Jesus then becomes just another one of the many people in the world who kind of shows us who God is or who the Father is. So we have Mohammed. He has a special revelation, he says, that this is who God is. And therefore the 5 points that you pray and you recite that Allah is God and Muhammad's his messenger, you give alms and you fast and you go to Mecca at least once in your lifetime, you go on a pilgrimage. This is who God is. Now, if you kind of like Mohammed, and if you say, yeah, okay, I can handle that. Somebody else might know, I kind of go with Joseph Smith, and so he has from the Mormon faith, and so this is who God is, and so this is who I'm going to follow. And then, then there's Jesus. Well, I kind of like Jesus, so I'm going to believe in the God that he espouses. So this is what Philip is thinking here. Just show us the Father, and that will be enough. And quite frankly, there's going to be no problem with it, because this is really quite politically correct. You know, you got the Mohammedans, and you got the Mormons, and you've got the Hindus, and you got the Buddhists, and it's like you're standing in front of an ice cream shop, all these different flavors, and if you pick bubblegum flavor, for example, I can't really say to you, no, that's wrong. What do you mean that's wrong? That's the one I pick. You might pick vanilla, but... And so this is the world in which we live. This is the politically correct world. And so Philip is saying, just show us the Father, and that will be enough. I'm not going to raise anyone's eyebrows. Actually, all religions have a concept of God. That's understandable, because we believe that we have been created in the image of God. And so there is an attempt, for all of us to somehow image the God that has been shown to us. This is very crucial, of course, because Jesus is at the very end of his life. Soon he will be going to the cross. And so these disciples, Philip, do they get it? And if they don't get it, then what's going to happen to Christianity? What's going to happen to the followers of Jesus? And so it is so very, very important that they get this right. It's not enough. It's not good enough to believe in God. Because everyone, including the devil, as we read in James, believes in God. So then Jesus answers Philip in a very plain and simple terms. And he's a little bit exasperated. Philip, you've been with me so long that you still don't really get it. Jesus is in effect saying, look, I am not someone who shows you God, who tells you about God, who tells you about his character. I am God. And that is unique. No one, not a Joseph Smith, not a Muhammad, no one says that I am God. Only Jesus. Now, people may not appreciate it, and this is where Jesus gets a lot of blowback, but this is what he claims. You see me, says Jesus, and you see God. He is not someone that we think we know and that we have to listen to various people who say, this is who God is. No. God becomes flesh and blood. He moves and lives amongst us, as we read in the prologue of John. So what does this mean? You know, in chapter 13, just the chapter before 14, there we see Jesus who stoops to wash the feet of his disciples. Now, think about that. Jesus is claiming that he is, you see me, you see the Father. So when you see Jesus cleansing the feet of his disciples, this is God stooping to care for you. This is our God. That's in effect what Jesus is saying here. You see me, you see God. Jesus, look at the works themselves. He feeds 5,000 with only a couple of loaves and fish. He heals the lame, he heals the blind. Those who were possessed by demons. He even raises Lazarus from the dead. He forgives people who have sinned. Who does that? I mean, only God can do this. And so Jesus said, look. Look from the works themselves. This is who I am. I am God. This is Jesus' ministry at work. Jesus is the one who gives us life. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. And so it is in Jesus that we see God. So what does that mean for you? And what does that mean for me? Well, then we look at Jesus. We see him feed the 5,000, for example, with the little bit that they have. This is God. And so now it's not only do we read that God is in Christ, but it's also that Jesus is in us through the work of the Spirit. So that when we read this, this is not just simply about what Jesus is doing. How can we use the resources that we have to be a blessing to others? How can we be a balm for those who are hurting, healing? Jesus, who sacrifices himself, as we read in Philippians chapter 2, you know, arm yourself with the same mind of Christ, because he is God. How do I serve him? I seek to become the hands and feet of Jesus. In terms of Jesus forgives, what kind of person am I to hold a grudge? I know it's not always easy, but Lord, help me. Help me to understand Jesus in me, God in me, that I may be one who forgives, who loves, that I may be willing to bring enlightenment. This is what Jesus is trying to get across. It's not just enough to believe in this God that I'm talking about. I am God. You will be doing the works that I'm doing. You'll even do greater works. Well, that's really kind of a real conundrum in this, some ways. How can we be doing greater works than Jesus? But probably there's a kind of a quantitative element to that. When Jesus died and when he ascended into heaven, it's estimated that there were maybe, I don't know, let's say 500 people that were kind of adherents to Jesus. Well, Peter preached on Pentecost Day, and there were 3,000 that were added to their number. Today, there are over 1 billion people who claim Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. You will do even greater works. And it's not independent, of course, because Jesus is in heaven and he is at work through you and through me. And so our task becomes so much clearer. It's not good enough just to simply say, I believe in God. No, you have to ask yourself, how? How am I putting the life of Christ, who is God? And this is, again, this is unique. No one else in the world has ever claimed this but Jesus. When Johnny was told that his marks were not good enough, at first he just kind of let it go in one ear and out the other. But then he started thinking about it. And he said, yeah, he believed in God. He kind of went to church and he did kind of the Christian things. But then some of the things that his parents had told him kind of rang true to him. And he asked himself, how am I really being the hands and the feet of Jesus in my classroom, in my studies, in all that I am doing? I know he's not good enough. Not one of us is good enough. But this is where we are praying. This is where we are asking, Lord, pray that I may know you in my marriage, that it grows and blossoms, that I may know you in relationship to others, that I'm willing to forgive, that I'm growing, that in all of these areas, I'm growing, because this is God. So Johnny decided that maybe he was going to become a lawyer, and he was going to be a blessing to those who were looking for justice and for righteousness. We don't know exactly where this is all going to land up, but again, this thinking process, how can I be the mind, the hands, the feet of Jesus? He understood what Jesus was telling Philip on the evening of his death. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Amen.